Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's totally predictable, absolutely, from the very beginning to the end. But that's, I think, what makes a rom-com rom-com, right? So
it was almost trying to do so many things at once that then it just didn't work at all and it just completely flopped. I don't know. I'm beginning to feel maybe I don't like Ashton Kutcher. Maybe that's the problem.
I'm really struggling to think of a thing I really loved him in.
Struggling to think of a thing that I've seen him in.
Yeah, I don't know. This one just kind of irritated me all the way through. And that scene at the airport at the end, I was just like, fuck off.
It's just a bit not very good. Hello, everyone. Today we have joining Flixwatcher Mel.
Hello, everyone.
Bethany.
Hello.
And as always, Kobe.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about Your Place or Mine.
Thank you, as always, to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. Welcome to Flixwatcher Podcast. Our guests today are Mel and Bethany. Over to you, please, Bethany, to tell the listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hi, so my name's Bethany. I'm currently a partner marketing executive at Intelligent Health. I work alongside Mel on our company podcast called Movement is Life. And we are back with season 2 in May. We've got some fab guests coming up from all different kind of sectors. And in the meantime, feel free to check out our previous episodes on Spotify or Apple. I've worked on other
When you say fab guests, give us an example.
We've got the ex-director of public health coming on, which is quite exciting. She's quite a knowledgeable lady. If you like a bit of history about toilets and sanitation, I mean, that's the place to be. I mean, fascinating stuff.
For my GCSE history, I did the history of medicine, and a part of that was a lot of that was public health and the welfare state mm-hmm. and all these kind of things. So I'm generally, it's
really interesting. Definitely. Yeah. She's told us so much already, and we've not even, like, we are recording with her, but we've not yet. And she gave me and Mel like a mini history lesson in terms of like how Liverpool basically informed London in terms of sanitation and all these interesting things that you should be taught at school and just never are. So yeah, it would be really interesting. Were you?
I wasn't. Did you see?
Oh, yeah. So I've worked across all different kinds of podcasts and in communications.
And who are you?
Mel, hello. I'm Mel, and I work as a product marketing officer at the same company like Bethany, said Intelligent Health. I'm her partner in crime, making this great Movement is Life podcast. I'm a mother of two, and I'm really passionate about the health overall, and that's why I started my extra study becoming a nutritionist coach.
And in terms of guests, are there any interesting guests for your podcast that you find that you want to share with us?
Yes, actually, Kate Dale from Sport England. She was with
Wasn't it Harriet?
Harriet, yes, from UK Active. Yeah, that was a really great episode. We discussed the This Girl Can campaign.
This Girl Can, yeah, which is a great campaign. Absolutely. But we're here to talk about films today. And you chose, Mel, you chose Your Place or Mine. Can you tell us, first of all, why you chose it? And synopsis in 60 seconds or less.
Yes. So, I picked this movie because I like rom-coms and... obviously, the lead actors were very promising to me. So Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher. So, and why I like rom-coms is because it just switches off my brain completely. So, and I always get what I want to. So it's just nothing more, absolutely nothing more from the beginning to the end. That's what rom-coms, I think, is great about.
Fair enough. Well, do you want to give us the synopsis for this one? Starting now.
So basically, after One Who Got Up in the early 2000s, Debbie, played by Reese Witherspoon, and Peter, played by Ashton Kutcher, have managed to remain best friends for over 20 years. They call each other every single day and claim to share everything, every important life event. But by the middle of the movie, basically, we can see that the people in their lives seem to disagree with this. And the deeper story basically starts when Debbie has to go to New York for a week-long training course, but her babysitter obviously cannot look after Jack and her son. And she's so desperate to find someone in the very last minute when Peter offers to fly down to LA and babysit Jack in her cottage while opening his house for Debbie to live in. And in the process, they open their lives to each other while they are...
That's the timer. You've run out of time for the synopsis. Well, don't worry, we'll talk about it during the course of this film. So, Bethany, Helen, rom-coms. Where do you sit with... Mel said she likes rom-coms because she can take her brain out. Where do you guys sit on the rom-com spectrum?
I do like a rom-com. Like, it is very kind of refreshing to just be like, you know what you're going to get. It's very box standard and it's quite easy to watch. I quite enjoyed this one because even though it was quite predictable and quite cheesy, I thought, it kind of did give me that nostalgia. And like, even when it first started with the annotations being like, she had so many layered tops on and things like that, like, it made me think of when I was like a teenager, when I was younger and things like that. So that was quite nice. And it kind of made me think of films of that time as well, like 13 Going on 30 and things like that, which was nice. I kind of appreciated it, but yeah.
Helen.
So when I started watching a lot of films, I was very snobbish and was like, I don't like rom-coms. Bleh. And then as I got a bit older, I realised that actually I do really like rom-coms. And some of my favourite films are romantic comedies. But I'm now snobbish about which romantic comedies that I like. And I don't think I have a high tolerance for them generally. I like ones that offer something a little bit, maybe slightly out of the ordinary, or perhaps maybe romance is not necessarily the central theme to it. Like, for example, like Begin Again, there's kind of like music in it, but it's a romantic comedy. Or I just really like them when like the chemistry is like really, really strong.
You didn't feel like here?
No.
I feel, yeah, thank you for
this.
Yeah,
this
thank
one
you for bringing this
was
up.
A little bit of a dud. I mean, it's just such a shame because Reese Witherspoon is great and she is great in it, but yeesh.
Yeah, I can agree with you, actually. Absolutely. So I didn't feel the chemistry. I expected more, to be honest. But reading some reviews after the movie, I think it was Ashton who...
Was he there? Because there didn't seem to be anything,
yes,
behind
actually,
the eyes.
Yeah, his wife, Mila Kunis, also texted him during this whatever scene or after the scene they shot at the airport.
Right.
And he got a message from Mila saying that, guys, you should act like, you know, people who likes each other. So.
That's harsh when your wife is also an actress.
Absolutely. So,
publicly calls so, out your...
Indeed, I can agree that the chemistry wasn't there at all or not as much as it should have.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you know the setup because it's a rom-com that even though they're apart, it's like, well, they're going to get together at some point and what's going to be that trigger? And really? Okay, fine. Fine. Reese Witherspoon, we've had her in a couple of films.
Legally Blonde, Wild.
She's great in both of those. Mm-hmm. She's been great in TV shows. I've seen Big Little Lies, for example. I think she's fantastic in that. and she's driving forward like a, you know, her production company, which is female-led TV shows and films. And so it's just when you hear all the kind of good stuff behind people, you just kind of like go, and really, is this the one you chose to come back to? Really? Ashton Kutcher, I don't think I've ever rated him in anything. I'm really struggling to think of a thing really loved him in.
Struggling to think of a thing that I've seen him in.
Especially recently.
I'm sure you say the Valentine's Day, right?
I haven't seen that.
It's kind of the holiday kind of movie at New Year's Eve. No, things like that.
I mean, he was in No Strings Attached, which I haven't seen, but I remember the poster because it's quite a funny poster. But you know what? I don't know what I've seen with him in. Dude, Where's My Car? I've seen him in that.
Yeah, I didn't like that film.
And The Jobs, the movie.
Yeah, he
played Steve Jobs.
He did the first Steve Jobs film after Steve Jobs died, and it was poor. Maybe I just don't like Ashton Kutcher. But I love Tig Notaro. Like, Tig Notaro, who plays Reese Witherspoon's kind of friend at the school. I love her and everything she's been. I love her stand-up. I think she's, like, generally amazing. And she was kind of reduced to best friend, who was actually kind of, she kind of made it slightly edgy in the way her line deliveries and stuff. But ultimately, I think she was kind of wasted in this. Steve Zahn, I think he's someone that's generally quite cool when I enjoy seeing him on TV and films. He's good in the first season of White Lotus, for example. And this is like some...
He's sort of playing Owen Wilson in this. It's like they wanted Owen Wilson, but they couldn't afford him.
So it just didn't hit a lot of places. And when it started and they were doing that, how do I know it's early 2000s? I thought they were going to do that thing all the way through with the type coming through, which I thought actually this is going to be irritating to do all the way through. And then they didn't. And I was like, so why did you start doing that if you then completely removed it from the whole storyline? And then you have this thing with her best friend, well, his ex, one of his exes, which he dumps after 6 months, who comes into the picture and then helps out Reese Witherspoon for reasons. Because she's got no skin in the game now. She realizes that they're in love. I'm like, what is her point in the storyline apart from just to maybe give her a kick? I don't know. There's a lot I didn't like. The main thing I didn't like, which irritates me when I see it, is when his apartment is against the backdrop of that bridge. I don't know which one, Brooklyn, Manhattan, whatever. Brooklyn, and it's like the worst CGI background in the entire world. It's just like, there's no way that's where he lives. It just looks the worst in the entire world. It just looks, and when stuff like that takes me out of the picture, then I'm really not interested in the film. I know I'm not interested in the film, which is a shame because I like Reese Witherspoon, I like Tig Notaro, I like Steve Zahn. I'm just like,
I think the
scriptwriter.
he wrote, probably wanted to just tick off all the items on the list of rom-com, you know, how to make, and just actually they did a good job with it, so we can tick it off, to be honest. So having loads of calls in different scenes, having the big scene at the airport, having scenes, you know, in the bathroom, and things like that. So there's a kid, a blondie, and also a handsome guy, obviously. So it's totally predictable, absolutely, from the very beginning to the end. But that's, I think, what makes a rom-com, right? So it's predictable.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yes, I can agree. It could have been funnier somehow. But Steve's not actually. I think you're more romantic if the chemistry works. Yeah, indeed.
And we've had quite a few rom-coms on here which have been like led by have been Netflix rom-coms, like Always Be My Maybe, for example, which is really good fun.
And The Half of It, that was another kind of Netflixy rom-commy
rom-com. But I think Netflix can do well with these rom-coms. And I think, it's, like I say, it's quite nice just to, like you say, take your brain out and then just enjoy what's going on. I mean, our highest rated film joint top is When Harry Met Sally, but that's like the pinnacle of like all films, not just like rom-coms. Yeah, I don't know. This one just, it just kind of irritated me all the way through. And that's that scene at the airport at the end, I was just like, fuck off.
Yeah. I think also with this one, it's sort of like the story is like the could have had romance, like, will they get back together? But then also it's like kind of like a crap version of The Holiday with like a house swap. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is it a house swap where they swap houses and fall in love with the person in that location? Or is it a reunited thing? Because it's sort of doing both at the same time. Yeah. And it's like, doesn't need to be this complicated. Like, why why have you kind of complicated it in that way? And there was a couple of things as well, like the sort of the reveal of how they find out that they do actually love each other, as if it wasn't that obvious, is she kind of like breaks into his secret novel and breaks into some of his hidden mementos and stuff, which is, I don't really like that. I know it's kind of played for laughs, but I kind of feel as though we're moving on from kind of stalkerish and slightly dodgy behavior when we're talking about romance and being honest with people. So yeah, it's that and just the lack of honesty. And also at the end, I was like, oh my God, they've wasted 20 years of their life. Like 20 years has gone by, and yeah, it could have been so easy for them just to had a conversation properly, because this whole thing is like, oh, we know each other really, really well, we talk all the time, and then they're like, well, actually we don't really know each other and we don't really know that much about each other. So I was like, what is this film? What do they know each other or don't they? Like, do they find out that they don't actually like each other? It's just a bit not very good. And I was actually looking, the director, it was actually the writer for the Devil Wears Prada, 27 Dresses, which I absolutely love, Cruella, and We Bought a Zoo. Like, I quite like that as well. But these are all like really good
films
that have been written really well. And this is the first one that they've directed. So maybe...
Did they write it as well?
Yes, they wrote, produced and directed this, whereas previously they've only ever written. So I wasn't familiar. So it's Aileen Brosh McKenna, which I don't know that, but obviously I know the films that she has written. So given that sort of history, I think probably we were expecting a lot more from this, I think.
Bethany, what do you make of, I don't know, let's pick out anything from the film that you found positive.
I feel like it did have good intentions. Like when I first started watching it, I thought I'm going to really enjoy this. And then it didn't hit the things I wanted it to hit. And I think kind of how you were saying it, just kind of, it was almost trying to do so many things at once that then it just didn't work at all and it just completely flopped. I don't know. I'm beginning to feel maybe I don't like Ashton Kutcher. Maybe that's the problem, because I don't know. Yeah, I think we're just an anti-Ashton club. It had promise. I feel like I kind of, at the end, I was a bit disappointed because it was so, it felt quite forgettable to me and quite generic when it was something that I'd had in my watch list to watch and I hadn't got around to it. And I was like, oh, I'm excited to actually see it. And it kind of like sold it a bit as being something else as well, I think. So I saw a trailer before seeing it, which sometimes I don't like doing. But it just, I can't find a positive. I'm really sorry.
One positive. I quite liked Reese having that dalliance with the book publisher guy. I thought that was quite, I thought it was quite a nice.
Jesse Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. Poor guy. Absolutely.
Which season of Grey's? Because I watched like too many seasons of Grey's Anatomy. So this, I know, and my wife's watching it now, it's like season 30 or something insane. Yeah. So does it come into it quite later on then? Let's get off Grey's Anatomy.
So back to the movie, yeah. So yeah, his character is quite, well, not a surprise, probably. Yeah.
He was nice to look at. Like, that's a positive.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he could have been a better romantic lead than Ashton Kutcher. Like, there's more. Yeah, they the kind of had like more chemistry, in like that short fake romance thing than the you know, the Ashton did for the whole film. So I just think maybe trim down a bit with a better lead, it might not have been
a less convoluted story.
Yeah.
I also liked how she potentially got to change her career into something a bit more interesting if she accepted their role as a writer or as an editor. I don't know. I'm trying to pull things out of the bag here. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we head to the scores? We can leave it here if you want to.
I think the scores will be quite telling.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to give higher scores.
let's head to the scores.
So welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. The scores are always out of 5. You may have decimal places. And we will start with you, please, Mel, with your recommendability.
I like this rom-com because it ticked off everything on a rom-com list. So I give 4.5.
What?
Oh, my God. Okay. I feel this movie needs this hype.
Sure. Okay, of course. Bethany?
I think I'm going to give it a 2.8 for recommendability because it's quite generic for me. It's an easy watch, which is nice, and you could put it on and do something else at the same time. And I feel like it's nice maybe for a Sunday afternoon where you don't really need to pay attention, but it's something to do.
Fair enough. Helen?
I'm going to give it a 2. Reese deserves better than this, and I think rom-com fans deserve better than this, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Let's go for 2.1, just to be slightly different. we've seen like high scoring rom-coms that don't have a star person attached to it with better chemistry. We can just do better, and yeah, as this, with the people involved, it should be better. Genuinely. Repeat viewing score, Mel.
Yes, this is interesting. So I will watch it again on a rainy day, probably during the winter. So I would give...
That sounded like a song lyric.
I know. 3.8.
Bethany?
I would give it 2.4. I'm not really sure I'd watch it again. Not for a while, at least. And I don't really feel like I could get much more out of the plot than I already got the first time.
I did quite like... the actor who played Ashton Kutcher's ex-girlfriend who became Reese's friend. I quite like the actor. I thought she did a good job with what she was there for. Normally I don't like those kind of actors, those characters who like say, no, you have to dress up for this thing or you have to do this. But I thought she wasn't too imposing. I thought she had good intentions behind everything. And I thought when she realised that she wasn't going to get back with Ashton, that it wasn't really a problem. It was just more like, no, you guys belong together. It's not me. It's like, you need to sort yourselves out. That's another good thing from the film. Anyway, sorry, Helen. Sorry, I had to say, otherwise I would have forgotten.
I mean, again, they had good chemistry on screen. They kind of had that kind of...
Well, Reese and that act, yeah.
There's just no way this film needs to be like an hour and 51 minutes. It is long. I'm not going to watch this again. So a 1 from me on this one.
Yeah, I can't see myself watching it again. I'm going to go for 0.5. If a wife had it on in the lounge and I walked in, there's a scene which is mildly interesting, I might stay for that bit, and then I'd probably get out. Small screen score, Mel.
I think basically this rom-com works on each platform. A small phone or your huge TV. It doesn't matter, I think. So because the CGI works well, you know, you can see the lovely Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, no, well, on basically these platforms. So it's...
So what's your score then?
The score is... Yeah,
3.8. Okay. Bethany?
I think I'd go 2.8 because I feel like it actually works quite well not being in the cinema.
Maybe just to reconfigure, just to let the small screen score, if it's a high small screen score, you think it works well on a TV or laptop. with a low small screen score is like something you need to watch in the cinema. So like Gravity, for example.
Okay. I wrote my dissertation on Gravity.
Well, there you go. So I'll never watch Gravity on anything other than the largest cinema screen I can get in front of. So just to reconfigure.
Yeah, I think 2.8.
Still 2.8? Okay.
Yeah. But it kind of made me nostalgic for like getting a video out or like a DVD. And it just made me think of being really young and that kind of, I don't know, vibe of watching, like going to Blockbuster and getting like a video or something for the weekend.
These all sound like you want quite high small screen score based on what you're saying. I don't want to obviously push you towards that, but...
Maybe I'll round it up to a 3. Yeah, I'll go up. I'll try to be nice because...
I mean, I'd be horrified if you paid money to see this at the cinema. I mean, this is the kind of film that you can watch on Netflix and not be angry because you've only just watched it at home and you haven't spent £15 on a cinema ticket. So I'm going to give it a 5 for small screen.
Yeah, I'm going to 5 small screen as well. There's no need to watch this. There's no really good soundtrack to it. There's no good special effects. There's no atmosphere. So, yeah, this is perfect for watching at home if you want to watch it. Engagement score, Mel.
I watched it in one go. So basically it engaged me. Let's say 3.8.
Sure.
I love this score.
Bethany.
I think I'm going to go for 2.5 because... I wasn't like overly engaged with it, but like I had an interest, but I did find myself kind of doing other things whilst I was watching it. So I wasn't fully immersed.
Well, you said about having on in the background whilst you're doing other things, right?
So... And I kind of did that. So
what? Even though you're preparing to watch
I know.
And review a film on this.
I had such good intentions and then I couldn't.
It's like
my attention wavered. And, yeah.
Helen?
You know what? I can't remember if I watched this in one or two sittings. I know I paused it at one point as if to say, how much is left? It's like half an hour. I was like, oh, really? Yeah, sorry. 1.5.
I'm moderately engaged because I was kind of like, it's not like a car crash. I was just like, is this really what's happening now? Oh, this is how they're going to get together. Fine. Sure. Good. Okay. Fine. Thank you very much for that film. So it was kind of is there. I think I was zoning in and out. Really, I wasn't doom scrolling or anything, which is a term I've learned recently. So I'm going to go for engagement score of 2.5. Gives an overall score of 2.88750, which is higher than I thought it was going to be. Mel holding up the average scoring with just under 4, average 3.9750. Myself, Bethany, and Helen around the 2.5 mark. So Mel really champing in the film, of course. We have some tweets, don't we, on this film, I believe.
We did indeed.
So do follow us, guys, on Twitter. We are at FlixWatcherPod, and we do talk about films on Netflix in general, but also just to look out for tweets like this where we ask for your opinions of the films we're about to review. Look out for tweets saying something like this. We're reviewing Your Place or Mine with Bethany and Mel from Intelligent _ Hit. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and score our 5 stars for an on-air shout-out. So we had a couple of messages, but we're only going to read one because one person just tweeted their own review from before. They couldn't even be bothered to write a short tweet. Mel, do you want to take the one from Audie?
Yeah, so Audie says that fairly predictable and a bit cheesy, but a good watch nonetheless. Not as good as The Holiday, though.
Yeah, well, you know, straight away the Holiday comparisons.
Kind of agree more, so.
We have had The Holiday on here as well, guys. So if you do want to watch a rom-com or listen to us talking about a rom-com of sorts, then we scroll down our feed or search The Holiday Flix Watcher and you'll be able to listen to it straight away. Mel, Beth, thank you. Bethany, sorry, I should say. Thank you very much for joining us today. And I know we kind of laid into Your Place or Mine a bit, but it's all in good jest. And I don't think anyone really is going to suffer from this. Can you tell us, everyone, where we can find you online? And we'll say goodbye to the listeners.
So you can find our podcast, Movement is Life, on Spotify or Apple, or you can head over to our website, www.intelligenthealth.co.uk, or you can send us an email, podcast@intelligenthealth.co.uk.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes and Rockwood Audio's editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.